You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hulking Oka Trap Sons and Traps. Trap Sons and Trap Dunts. Түүний сонс төг хөгч юм дур булаа. Дааш дуудан дур була мөрөө цаа.
The brand new MMA Roasted Podcast, once again, coming from Speedweed Studios, the joint at Speedweed Studios. I want to thank Speedweed for letting us go here, sponsoring us. They have the best marijuana you can smoke, and they deliver it right to you. They have edibles, they have CBD, sex lube, THC sex lube, whatever you need, they will take care of you. Use the code ROASTED for $10 off, $100 or more. Gino is a great guy. The guy's like, I mean, he's like the nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. And they're good people. Mm-hmm. So we're here. And it's been, obviously we got Mayhem here. We got Weendo. We got Sheena. We got Sheena Starr calling in pretty soon. Sheena Starr was, she's the bare knuckle boxing woman who wore the Hillary Clinton is a cunt shirt during her fight. And she's got another bare knuckle boxing thing coming up. This girl's she's a character. You're going to like her. Me, I just got back from Vegas and I had one of the craziest weeks. So I go to Vegas. I'm headlining the Laugh Factory all week, two shows a night, which was awesome. And then Mike Pyle hits me up and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to train you all week. I was like, really? I was like, yeah, man. He's like, I won't even charge you. This will just be for you. All the things that you give back to the, you know, to the kids, and we're friends, and all the free. I'm like, great, right? So I've never had better instruction in my life. I mean, just like, you know, he's teaching me how to punch, because I either take boxing or wrestling, but I don't know how to actually like merge it, kind of. And he's teaching me better stance, how to turn on my hooks, just like awesome. Doing an hour and a half minutes, and I'm in this gym in Syndicate, and you could see like Mama's Boy Kelvin Tiller there, and a bunch of fighters, and you know this guy AJ something. All these people are fighting there. Roxy, Roxanne Modafari. So then all of a sudden he's like, hey, guess what? Saturday we're sparring, and I'm like, ha ha ha, yeah, okay. But then he's like serious about it. I'm like, dude, after the third day, I'm like, I can't. My body can't move. Like, he's like, no, dude. He's like, well, then he starts getting really kind of weird about it. He's like, we're doing press. You have press on Friday. You have weigh-ins. I'm like, he's like, good luck in your fight, blah, blah, blah. He's really treating it like I actually have a fight. So I'm like, okay, I'll go along with it. And like, so I'm writing back like K or great or can't wait, whatever. So I get there and, you know, he's actually, I mean, we're sparring. He's going light, but we're doing MMA sparring. We're doing takedowns and stuff. I'm exhausted after the fourth round. He's telling me what I'm doing wrong, which is like, you know, keep your head, you know, you're too high, this, that roll. So then after like the fifth round, I'm exhausted. And like Gorgeous George from MMA Junkies, my cornerman, and like Jack Jr. So then I turn around and there's Roxanne Modafari, right? In like a Batman. It's like, it's Halloween, so everyone's dressed up as like different costumes, and she's like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, I can't even move, and everyone has their phones out. I'm like, great. So now there's gonna be a video of me getting tossed around by Roxanne all over the internet. So I'm like, all right. So we touch gloves, and she starts like throwing, and I'm like, all right. So I just hit a double leg right on her right away. I just tackle her, but she gets up. I'm like, so then she's like trying to throw me, so I do like a judo hip toss and tossed her on her head like twice. Not like
you broke her neck.
Not hard. I think I outweighed her by 40 pounds. She didn't know we were doing MMA sparring. She thought we were just doing like straight kickboxing and boxing.
She thought she was Batman.
So that was I was exhausted afterwards, but that was awesome. So that was my week. Thank you, Mike Pyle and John Wood and Syndicate people. And then the shows went really good. Of course, it was always that one couple that there was an Asian girl and her family there, and they just were staring at me the whole time, and I could tell they were not having a good time.
Mm-hmm. So, you didn't bust your Chinese set?
No. So then I was like, I was making jokes here and there. I'm like, oh, you guys are just here to buy the place or something or yada, yada. So then they get up to leave at the end and they wanted their money back. But they stayed for my, they stayed for my whole show. And granted, like 100 people having fun, one person's bad. So then they told the owner, we thought it was going to be like Ellen. Which is...
Well, I mean, it is a blonde lesbian, so, I mean, it worked.
Yeah, pretty much, but I'm like, come on. So then they didn't get their money back.
It was going to be like Ellen.
Yeah, they're like, we thought it was going to be... They didn't stay... They're like, every comic was too dirty. Like, the opener, the feature, I mean, it's at the very, very end. And then wanted their money back. So then we got, like, an email, whatever, but, you know, it's okay.
They were reserving judgment for a later time.
It just sucks because everyone else had a great time, but then that person keeps me up at night.
Yeah, you know, you need to quit with that, bro. I think it's holding your comedy back if you're going to, you're going to cater to like the most G-rated assholes on earth? You're in Vegas. You're talking about pussies, dicks, and taking a shit.
Of course, but then I'm like, I'm not going to get booked back here. Like, I had a billboard. I never had a billboard before. I had two billboards. I had two billboards.
Nice, bro, how fucking nice.
People were hitting me up like, that's a, you know, nothing like having a billboard on Vegas.
That's pretty fucking sweet.
I just wanted the billboard. I wanted every, that was the best. So that was cool. How was your weekend? What's going on? What would you do?
I mean, it wasn't as fun as pissing off Chinese people, but I mean, yeah, it was good. I went to a haunted house. I got to give a shout out to those people. The 17th door in Fullerton. It's like this crazy. I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't gone to it because it's a damn a piece of art. I give it a 5 out of 7. A masterpiece.
Okay.
It was awesome because it was just like crazy shit after crazy shit. Just like a nice little narrative. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't really. I don't want to fuck it up for people if they decide to go. But I'll just tell you, like, there are some bugs involved, cockroaches.
Yeah.
So they're putting cockroaches on you. I don't know. There's something wrong with my fear complex. Like, I can't get afraid of things. So I was just basically
cracking up. You weren't even afraid of jail.
Yeah. And then that was the thing, is that the whole narrative of the haunted house is like, they lock you up and put you in prison. I was like, bah, I'm not scared of this shit at all. Like, that, I had COs way tougher than you, you know? And what else? I mean, I don't want to ruin it again, but like, man, there was like a fucking terrifying moment where they like locked you up in this kind of like latex like grate that came down over you, right? And they're like, stand still. And they're like, you stand still, and they lock you in there, and then they put, it looks like a sheet coming down over top of you and suffocate your ass. Yeah, like to the point where I was like, they're fucking waterboarding me, man.
No way.
Yeah, they're waterboarding
me. You had like flashbacks? Or?
Yeah. I felt like, post-traumatic stress disorder kicking in.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was pretty bad. I love Halloween, man.
By the way,
I haven't seen Halloween in 2 years, bro.
Oh, wow.
I know, yeah. I haven't seen Halloween or Christmas or my birthday.
They don't have Halloween in jail? They celebrate any?
Yeah. Well, there's some Pruno. Some guys grow some Pruno in the toilet and then, like, pass it around.
But do they have, like last Christmas?
Yeah, we dress up as fucking fairies and suck each other's dicks. What do you think, bro?
No. Do you guys celebrate Christmas at all in jail?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I gave cookies to everybody and was like hopping around, and then I wouldn't go back in my cell when they told me to. I was just like, "We wish you a Merry Christmas!" And the cops were like amassing outside with the damn sticks and like staring at me through the mod door, and I'm just like stripping down and putting butter all over my body, like, come on in.
No, you
everybody's
weren't.
Cracking up.
Really?
Yeah.
You were putting butter on your body?
Yeah, just in case they're gonna grab me, I could just wiggle out like a little piggy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that way if the cops grab you, they have to get butter?
Come on, bro. I gotta share all my techniques with you.
But you don't think that like, you wanted to get out of jail.
Bro, I was greased up like St. Pierre. I didn't give a fuck. I was like, I'm ready to do it.
But is that why?
But it was mostly for the gag, because the cops knew me. They knew I was just fucking around.
Okay, so there wasn't that. Then, like, that didn't add your sentence, though.
New Year's, I did it again, though.
The butter?
Yeah.
Were you naked?
Yeah. I kept my little boxer shorts on.
Oh, okay.
You know, just in case. You don't want to get grabbed in that.
But weren't you worried about this going to add to your sentence at all?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I went back to my cell after a while. But I just wanted the cops to know and the criminals to know, hey, man, I'm in here with you guys. I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation.
By the way, I got to say, so, you know, you always kept telling me from jail when you were calling me, when I got out of here, I want to help coach. So we had practice at my place in my backyard. We have a wrestling room and I was teaching and then you drove up and you did great, man. I didn't know your wrestling background. I knew that your jiu-jitsu was like your second degree black belt and stuff, but I knew like you had some high school wrestling.
Well, the interesting thing is in ninth grade I wrestled, but then I quit. Because I wasn't really like filled into my body yet, and I was like, man, this wrestling outfit's gay. Yeah. Like I totally like thought it was too homoerotic. Maybe that says
actually changed the uniforms now.
Really?
It's up to the coaches. Now it's MMA shorts.
That's what I'm saying.
And tank tops.
Or or because if I was more physically developed, I probably wouldn't have had
I'm like, why?
When I was 14, I was like skinny in the wrong places and too tall and I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin,
1,000%.
Let alone a little skinny you know what I mean? If I could have wrestled in shorts and a rash guard, maybe,
My program has picked up so much since up to the coaches decide. I'm like, why as a coach will you not? They're like, well, some coaches are like, well, we have the kids decide on. I'm like, no way.
Because the kids decide? Those kids are idiots.
Those kids are already there. We want the kids that aren't there to join the team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I always leave the door open during practice. So the kids will walk by and go, what's going on in here? You know, which was actually last year we had a parent that was like going crazy during our practice. And then we had to ban him from practice.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Wait, when you say going crazy, what level of crazy are we talking about, bro?
Well, his kid was just getting hurt and he was yelling at the coaches.
Oh.
But his kid really wasn't getting hurt.
His kid was just dramatic.
Very dramatic.
We had a dude like that on a jiu-jitsu team a while back named Tex. This guy just, you'd just like wizard him and he'd go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it was like, whoa, dude, like shut up. And eventually, at first we'd be nervous, but then eventually we'd just like grind his face while he was yodeling in our arm.
Well, the kid was fine, but it was when the father was there, the kid was 25 times worse. Like the father's flipping out made the kid worse. So
There's some type of like, I know, I've seen this before. Like, for instance, there was this guy, I remember Tony, that like, he would whine about everything. And I could like, one time I looked in his eyes and I could just see him as a little kid getting attention from his mom because he was injured. So every day he would talk about, oh, this injury and this. And then like the fighter would be like, I don't care. Bro, like I got plenty of injuries I ain't bitching about right now. And that's kind of the mentality you have to do a tough sport that.
The best,
and then the best, and you know, man, my dad, I don't know, man. I just crack up when I see like parents like coddle their kids. My dad would just look at me while I was bawling and just stare me down until I stopped crying. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess, I remember that.
But then he would smack you.
Nah. I had to really fuck up to get some physical activity like my dad's popping me. I had to really, really fuck up.
The best parenting I've ever seen, one of the best parenting, is when we had a kid whose father was a brown belt and jiu-jitsu or black belt or something, and he would come help out, but he never spoke. That's when he just sat in the corner the first 3 weeks and he was like, hey man, I like what you're teaching. And that's when I knew the guy actually knew his stuff. The worst is when a guy has like 3 weeks of wrestling practice and then wants to tell you
it's weird, the balance where a guy who has only done a little bit always wants to just jabber jaw about everything
and every aspect and comedy and this and life. But but the kid quit. The kid lost and quit. Uh-huh. And the father kept coming to practice.
Wow.
And I go, what happened? Because he was sort of like our assistant. He kind of helped out. I go, what about your son? He's like, I don't know. He's like, but I can't show him that it's okay to quit once things go rough. And I was like, and the kid eventually came back. And you know, that to me, that was the best parenting. Cool. I was like, well, that's good parenting right there. But back to you, it was interesting because when I was coaching with you, you knew exactly what to tell these kids, but like things that I was kind of missing. And like, you were like, oh no, like on the single, like when you want to have your head up, it really dry. And I'm like, things that I just was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, Mayhem knows exactly what to tell.
Also too, I think that might have something to do with like, I'm probably stuck at their age in my head. A little more than you are. Like, you've already moved on to the having kids age. I don't know. I feel like I'm always 13. I forget that I'm a big, scary dude. I just feel like I'm like a little kid. Like, hey, everybody. Da, 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 da. And then, like, when people start looking at me crazy, I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot I'm a grown-ass man. You know, I just feel like I because the lifestyle I chose, where I went, like everyone went to college and I went to the gym and I just played with my friends on the mat for my whole life and never really left that area. And then I would take breaths of air to go look on the internet and play video. I've grown up. Look, I dated a girl with a kid, right? Kid was nine. It turned into like, I was just friends with this kid and me and the girl were just like hanging out. Like it right. was, I was more,
you're a giant kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I have some adult elements, but man, I'm playful. I like to have fun and like, yeah, I don't know.
But even when the kids were getting frustrated, like you were just like, no, it's okay. And like, yeah. super cool. And then when the kid fell on his head, you started laughing. Yeah. That was like.
Well, I checked to see if he was knocked out first. I was like, oh, I thought if he was injured, I would have been like a different attitude. But then because most kids, like they respond to the energy you give them, right? If he busts his ass and you go, oh my God, are you okay? Then he like, it tells him. Oh, act hurt.
Right.
But if you laugh and then kind of like, eh, stand up, shake it off. What about when the kid got kicked in the nuts so hard?
Oh, my God.
He got kicked in the nuts pretty solid. But I was like, come on, man. They're not that big yet. Jesus Christ.
I was like, you're not going to need him for a couple years. This kid has a mustache.
Yeah.
He's 13 years old.
He's a little baby, man.
And he's going to be like, he's just a grown man in a kid, in like a kid body. Yeah. But so, even that, he's like, I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, man, someone, I got kicked in the dick. And I was like normally you don't hear that from a 13-year-old. And I was like, it was like a man telling me like, all right, man, well, hang in there. You know, like but it was super, it was scary. Anyway, the point is it was really fun coaching with you, man. It was, I feel like the kids really liked it. I was hoping they didn't go home and Google you.
Yeah, me too, but I saw somebody hated on me on the internet.
Like, no, it was like, a fighter, actually.
And I know, what a I dork. Actually texted, what a snitch.
It's a friend of mine.
I know, and I know him too.
And I texted him and I said, hey, man. I said, Mayhem's trying to get his life together. I go, we weren't coaching at the school. We're coaching at my house. The parents knew who you were anyway, because the parents worked with you on Bully Beatdown, some of them. Yeah. The other one's from the kids from Chechnya, who's like running from the country. It was okay. It was pretty pretty cleared.
That Chechnyan kid's on some terrorist watch list already.
Yeah, well, no, not that, but he's running from terrorists.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the family.
Even better.
But I said to him, I go, why would you say that?
And I know. And that was a weird, like, hater comment.
He texted me back apologizing.
Oh,
you know, so, but I was a little bit, but I'm telling you though, it was cool having you there.
It was fun. It was super fun. Dude. I was so happy. And I've been thinking about that forever. You know what I mean? I'm sitting in the box like going, man, when I get out of here, I coach those little kids again, that's going to be the best. And man, it was like super fulfilling.
Well, there are certain things that are like, just like my wife's always like, why do you got to coach these kids? You're driving an hour, not getting paid, blah, blah, blah. I go, it really is like therapy to me. Like it, and honestly, like being a role model for kids, as corny as this sounds, makes me a better person.
It's one of those things that unless you do it, you can't really understand, because on the surface, yeah, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of effort to put into a quote unquote hobby. But like wrestling, fighting, martial arts is a lifestyle. And, you know, we had coaches pass down knowledge. And it's not just knowledge about wrestling. It's like the other little subtle things like that you pick up from being around a role model like that, who's, you know, who cares about your success and who cares about what you're doing with your life. You know, because like, look, you told me about the kid messing up with his math. You know, look, that is a big motivator for him to get things back together, you know, to get his math scores up. And this is like an overall net positive for both of you. Whoever you're helping, it reflects back on you. It helps you, too. So you can keep your life on track by helping others. You know, that's the biggest thing that I lost when I was going through my whole dark period, where I just started caring only about me and only about how I feel. And then it became this hedonistic like hellhole I was stuck in, where I couldn't find any happiness because I wasn't never helping anybody. Then once I had some fighters and was starting to do, I started to climb back out of that. But the minute that I like lost that once again, I spiraled dark, you know, I'm kind of making my mission now is to spread that message, is to, you know, if you need some help, don't be too proud to get it. like come, you can build up out of that. And you know, I'm on Twitter. I message guys back on Twitter, Facebook, and if I ever get my Instagram back, I'll do it there too. Where I, you know, I've got it. I've already been guiding some people out of some dark spots. And you know, on the surface, that's like what it seems selfless, but in a way, it's selfish because I'm like, you know, I'm getting some out of it too. I'm like, pulling my friends up instead of just worrying about myself, and it helps my mental health like completely. It makes me feel worth something instead of feeling like worthless, where I just like can go fade into oblivion and attack myself with substances that make me feel good for a moment. It's like a real feel good. It's like a grown up feel good instead of like this like instantaneous, you know. Hit it and quit it.
Yeah, well, 1,000%. It was it was funny though, because the other day in practice, I was like, the kids were just not listening. You know, it's just I'm just, you know, it's one thing when I have the kids in private, it's like four kids that want to be there.
Yeah.
It's another thing when you have 20 kids and like some of the kids, and I was like, listen, guys, my wife doesn't want me here. I drive an hour to get here. I pay for a nanny. Please, like, don't make me regret these choices. I was like, I'm just like flat out. I don't know if they've ever had a teacher tell them that.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Just straight.
Like, guys, I'm hanging on by a thread here.
Yeah, just straight honesty. But I'll tell you, there was a kid that used to cry every day in practice. I mean, 5-6 times of practice.
And five times?
And then
that's an impressive amount of crying.
And I tell the rep for his match, I go, just so you know, he's about to cry in about. It was a young rep. It was like, the guy was like 22, 20, and we look over, the kid was already crying, right? So I go over to him like, hey man, you know, listen, you're here. I don't care if you win. Just try your hardest. And the kid,
was he crying? He's so stressed out, huh?
Stressed. He was scared. His parents were just like, I mean, his dad was like making him do this.
I've seen pro fighters like cry before a fight.
Really?
Throw up and like be like, I'm just like, whoa. Like, you know, nerves affect different people in different ways, you know?
So then that like fast forward to like 3 months, the kid was like getting a takedown and actually winning.
Nice.
And then I'm on the side and I start tearing up.
Nice.
And my wife's like, are you crying right now?
She's there's like, no crying in wrestling.
She's like, you didn't even cry at our wedding. I go, yeah, this is way more.
Yeah.
Like, this is affecting me. Our wedding. No. We can always get divorced. This kid's never going to get another takedown. So, Ween Dog, how the hell are you, man?
Actually, when I was younger, I got kicked in the balls so hard that my balls stopped developing like afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you got baby balls right now? Is
well,
that
I
what
did.
You're
I had,
admitting
I,
to right now on the air? Bro, that was a bold
no,
statement.
No, it's just like a scientific, you know, anomaly.
Yeah.
And I had my balls removed through surgery later
what?
On when I was 13. But, you know, but they put them back.
Wait, why'd they remove your balls?
Because I got kicked so hard that it torsioned my testicles.
Who kicked you in the balls?
Bro.
I can't remember. Just some kid when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the doctor removed my balls and examined them and untorsioned them and put them
okay.
back.
Oh, they're torsioned. I got that yeah. before. It's, twisted up nutsack
it's
guy
kid. Very painful.
Well, damn.
So besides that, how now you're...
Well, hey, besides that, was you going to gloss right over? This man just admitted to having his balls
you,
removed
okay, you,
and put back on?
You don't
on?
Understand Ween Dog. This
yeah.
guy, he started off as our sound guy.
Yeah.
And it turned into he has... When we met him, he was a virgin. He lost his virginity by a girl got into a car accident with him. And then she was like in a daze. She was like 40 and he slept with her after
you
the accident.
Do what you got to do, Ween.
Yeah. So since then, he now has a girlfriend, same girlfriend.
Yeah.
But he was into this like
this 40-year-old lady.
He was
into this crazy lifestyle where one girl he took home wanted a gun to her head during sex. So he purchased a rifle online.
Rifle, damn, bro.
Right,
you must be long stroking.
Like, so I can't.
This dude's
next level.
There's a girl who shot up with heroin right before I made love to her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I might have, you know, allegedly. Made love to a woman who was unconscious.
Oh, okay, well, let's take that part out of this.
Yeah,
okay.
Leave it in. Leave it in. This is getting dark.
I'll let you leave it in because this is documentation for when I want to look back at these podcasts when I'm older. I want to be reminded that I did that.
I'm never looking back at this shit.
You know?
Alright, so now you're in film school and you have the same girlfriend, but
yeah.
for a while you were just doing anal with her, right?
Yeah, like sort of like took her virginity through anal.
Yes.
That's just Mormon sex, you know?
Okay.
Oh, well then.
Saving
you know.
The vagina
no, but,
for
but,
Jesus.
But her, I know her, has she moved out of her parents' house?
No.
So you're doing anal?
I'm trying to move into her parents' house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's nice.
Bruh. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
This guy's got a plan. You got to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got an accurate plan going on. It's pretty interesting.
Well, right now, we're just like in this anal blasting phase.
Yeah. I mean, standard. It sounds standard.
Well, you've gone through that phase too?
Yeah. Well, only like I said, with Mormon chicks that like wanted to save the vagina for Joseph
How many
Smith.
Mormon chicks have you had?
Just like a couple at least. Okay. I don't know. You know, some are undercover Mormons, you know?
Okay.
But at the same time, for some reason, the religious faction thinks the anus isn't that bad.
We were doing so well with helping kids.
About sodomy.
All right, so what's going on in your
life? We got to make sure this podcast is rated MALF.
So what's going on with you, Ween Dog?
Well, because I realized, like, I've been doing anal blasting for a long time now, for a few years, since I was like 18, 17.
Yeah.
I noticed it's very much like jujitsu. You start off with jujitsu, you're very scared at first. You're very intimidated, you might get hurt.
Right.
And just keep showing up to practice, keep finger blasting, and eventually, I'm talking about my anus.
And if you keep
going. Your anus.
Yeah, I'm talking about my anus.
Oh, the girl's been fingering you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this girl, you took her...
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So you know what? I like this turn. It really changed my mind about the whole thing. I was totally painted in the wrong. Now, where does a rifle fit into this thing? Is this the same girl?
I wanted to become a hunter, and then I was having sex with this girl who, like, she wanted to be tortured during sex.
Oh, yeah.
She started with, hold a knife up to my throat while you bang me. I got a butcher knife and a machete, whatever it was. And then I said, I just got a gun. Well, I'm going to hold a gun up to your head. And she said, that'd be hot. But since I wanted to become a hunter, I bought a rifle.
Right.
And also, rifles are a lot cheaper, you know, than handguns.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're the girls, you took her virginity and now she's anal blasting you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I anal blast myself.
Okay. Somebody wants to know what anal blasting is.
It's like finger blasting.
Gage wants to
know. It's like finger blasting.
Yeah.
But
so how many fingers are up to? And is this a big lady or a small lady?
She's
kind of hand size? If you're going to compare it to my hand, how many fingers would it take for, you know, say my thumb, for instance?
For me? For my butt?
Yeah.
I could probably do... I want to start off with your pinky, Jason. And then I'm going to move to... you got to do the 180. You start with the pinky.
Yeah.
And then you do the 180 to the thumb.
Right.
Because it's almost the same length.
Okay.
But the thumb is a little bit thicker.
So you've been getting anal blasted by this girl?
Yeah, but I do it to myself more than she does it to me.
Why are you putting your finger up your own butt?
Well, it's like jujitsu. Sometimes you got to get like a training dummy to spar with at home, you know?
I mean, the metaphor sticks. Yeah, definitely. You know. So are you going gi or no gi on this?
You know, I think when you first start, like for me, I started with a gi in both anal blasting and jujitsu, but I found that it's not like, it's not as fun. I don't like having to wash it after every practice.
Yeah, I mean, be careful. You don't want to get staph infection.
Yeah. You know.
All right. So this is what you've been up to. So we haven't heard from you in 3 months.
Yeah.
You came back to the podcast. You were in film school.
Yeah.
And now you've been getting anal blasted. That's like your update?
Yeah. It's pretty much it, man.
Okay. Well, good work, man.
Thank you.
Pound.
Thank you, man.
All right. So let's talk about the Ben Askren fight. Did you watch the Ben Askren fight? All right, so
it went about kind of how I thought it would go, but I thought maybe Ben could hold out, like turn it into, you know, he just like kept dancing with the devil down there, you know.
You know what's funny? I thought he had the perfect strategy, which is like win for 4 minutes on the feet, and he sort of winning, take him down.
Yeah.
But you're right, playing with fire on the ground.
If you're gonna keep it's not like Ben wasn't in shape. It's just that the amount of scrambling that Maya forced on the ground is wore him out. He's not used to a guy who can move him around on the ground like that and keep transitioning to this move, to that move. And there are so many beautiful jiu-jitsu transitions that Maya hit on there. And it was great defense from Askren. He like did a lot of great escapes and whatnot. But look, if you keep dancing with the devil, sometimes she steps on your foot.
Now, do you think that he should have waited so there was 30 seconds left for the takedown? Like, looking back, because
there were still a couple rounds left, dude. And the tank was, like, getting empty because there's so much scrambling. And even though Ben is a funk wrestler, it's the same thing as, look, once cardiovascular conditioning starts chipping away, okay, whoever is better at how the fight is going is more than likely going to win. You know, if, say, for instance, both guys get tired and one guy's a better kickboxer, okay, and they're on the feet, that the guy who's a slightly better kickboxer is going to win because his technique is sharper. Same thing on the ground. So since Askren has great wrestling and good top control, okay, that's pretty good. But if the fight is both guys are tired and it's becoming a jiu-jitsu match over and over again, then the jiu-jitsu guy is gonna have a benefit.
Yeah, of course. It's kind of like a wrestler. Like, people were like, "This proves that jiu-jitsu is better than wrestling." No, it doesn't.
Well, in a way, jiu-jitsu is better at submissions.
If you take away striking, of course, take away striking, it's just wrestling.
Let's talk about the striking in that fight. What the fuck?
See, but that's the thing, okay?
It turned into a goddamn backyard boxing match. That shit was sloppy as shit.
But that was the best he's looked. That was the best he's ever looked on the feet, though.
Nah, well, because he never has to use it.
But that's the thing about Ben.
Ben is a phenomenal athlete and you know, beast guy, but the technique on the ground just eventually overcame.
Now, I have a couple different theories on this. Like, Ben Askren, there are certain guys that get away with doing all the wrong technique. Everything technically is wrong, but because they're so good at it, they get away with it. So let's say Anderson Silva, hands down. Roy Jones Jr., hands down. You can't see the hands down. You can't see him punching you. Ben Askren was the king of the funk. Because he was able to do these crazy scrambles that would, as a coach, would drive me insane. Because he was doing everything wrong, but it would end up with a cradle.
Yeah, I know.
Now, eventually, you get to the age of 33, 34, 35.
I know where you're going with this.
Speed goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
it's harder to do your moves, what you relied on. That, too. However, I'd like to add that after you have a backlog of tape, you have a catalog of all your fights, you know, and what, you got 20-some fights or something like that?
Ask him 20
fights? Yeah. Okay. So now you have a giant library of exactly what you do. And so at this point, you know, and once you got all that notoriety, now everybody just watches the tapes and they know what's your tendencies. So they knee you in the face because they know that your tendency is to take a shot immediately. Or, you know, they know that you're susceptible to this, that, or the other. And then, you know, tap you out from the back. Because he does, you know, I've seen other fights where he turns his back and like escapes like in a wrestling method.
Right.
In the jiu-jitsu, we love that. In fact, I heard that back in the day, the old school jiu-jitsu guys didn't even correct wrestlers.
Oh, just to get it.
Go ahead. Keep doing this back escape. We're going to keep rear naked choking you. That's just how it is, you know. Nowadays, things have moved on.
But what I don't get is okay, so he's throwing arm punches, right? Yeah. I mean, literally throwing.
But that's a wrestling thing. That's like a lot of guys who've been wrestling since they're little kids, they do these monster arm because it's basically a head club, but with a closed fist.
But Duke Rufus, who's like a renowned kickboxing, or Rick Rufus, great coaches. Wouldn't they in the gym? And I know Duke. Wouldn't they say, "Listen, you know, turn your hip when you."
How are you gonna unteach something that a guy has been doing since he was a baby? Mm-hmm. How are you gonna especially when you're tired. Once you're tired, the technique that is most sharpened into your muscles, like your muscle memory, that's the one that you're gonna do.
He does that holding the pads. I see him holding the pads.
He's going
like this. And I guess it works. I know, I remember Gerald Mearshart, who was an amazing fighter, says he sparred with Askren 100 rounds and lost 99 of them. And this is a great fighter. This is a guy that just lost to Eric Anders. People thought he won, yada, yada.
Yeah, but he didn't lose to him in a boxing match. You know, this guy is a fantastic wrestling. Like, he's just an unreal wrestler. And boxing, just stand-up is a different story.
Do you think Askren was winning the stand-up exchange?
Technically, yeah. I mean, point-wise, probably, maybe.
Damage-wise?
Yeah, damage, because the shots that did get through were heavier.
But if he could land those with just throwing arm punches, imagine what he could do if he actually turned his hip, no?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. And if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. Yeah, so, you know, it's just that, look, maybe he'll change his game a little bit. But like you said, he's 33. Something.
Well, he's 35. He says 35. That he never really had a passion for MMA. He was just basically good at it.
He was an awesome wrestler. Yeah.
He's got all these different wrestling camps. He said, "I'm putting 30 hours a week into this." And that was too much for him. Where other guys that are that's not enough. I mean, there's gym rats who, but what I'm saying is now, do you think that a guy like Wonder Boy, we'll put Askren, we'll put Anderson Silva, guys who do things technically wrong but get away with it because they're that talented.
Look.
Versus a guy like Frankie Edgar who does technically everything right.
Yeah, this is apples and oranges. Like, well, look, there's some guys who have developed their technique. Look, there's rules, right? And then once you get a baseline, like once you develop as a martial artist, you get to a point where you can start bending them and then you get to another level and you could start breaking the rules, you know, completely doing things that are unconventional, and it benefits you as a martial artist because now you're coming at different angles that people don't expect. You're doing different stuff, that you're doing things that are unorthodox and kind of reinventing the game, you know?
So Astro comes to you, right? He says, Mayhem, I want you to coach me.
All right.
What are you telling?
Well, for me, I don't know. I would definitely start catering his stand-up around his wrestling and turn those big arm punches into something that could get more takedowns, you know? And I would also start to push him away from doing his head down kind of clip. That's what got him in so much trouble. Once he's on top, his head down kind of like wrestling style passing. Instead, I would have him posture up all the time. And like the school I'm training at now, Joe Murriera, his jiu-jitsu passes are mostly all from a great posture. And sure, let the guy hook a triangle, but if you're in a great posture, the angle for the triangle doesn't work. So, because if you're hanging your head over, the guy can triangle you. The guy can omoplata, like he got caught in that omoplata later. If your head's down, now the attacks, you're giving the guy all the attacks. But yeah, here we go. We can watch and break this down.
And this podcast has come a long way, Adam. Look at that.
Okay, so Ben's coming in. He gets a takedown. Beautiful, yeah. Right there. So right away, posture up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because what's the point now? Even though the butterfly guard is in, see how Maya turns out to the side. Now you want to keep your opponent's back flat on the ground. See, look, now he's in a triangle, and maybe yeah, he didn't get it, and he got now he got caught in a omoplata. But what's the point? If he wasn't there to begin with his head down, what? He wouldn't have got caught in this.
Wait, well, should he
got swept perfectly.
But should his arm not have been there, too?
No, he should immediately posture up, like sit up in a great posture, because and try to like keep your hips close to his hips to keep his back flat on the mat. If you don't, all the jiu-jitsu guys' moves from the bottom are predicated upon getting onto his hip. Getting off to his side. And then look, he turns his back and
But I'm saying, like, his hand was almost there. So his hand should have been, because the rest of the hand on the mat.
Yeah, immediately like bicep control, put your weight on your haunches, sit back, and then pop your head up.
Like so that. Okay, so then he ended up sweeping right here. So he's kind of go for like an inverted triangle sort of, or what is he? So what should he be doing right here?
Just who?
Askren, raining punches, right?
Well, yeah, but look, I, before you like really get into punches, you know, you have to like cement your position. If you're in a position where the jiu-jitsu guy can sweep you, like you don't want to just start bombing on him, because that's when, you know, you putting your weight up to throw a punch down gives him an opportunity to make a scramble.
Right.
And that's how Maya wore him out. By every time Askren started to put the punches, it was like it turned into a scramble. You know, be it from the bottom, and the way that the beautiful finish, the beautiful sweep that he used at the end, he used that. I guess we're gonna see it here.
It was like a heel hook.
Yeah, a heel hook transition. This is something I trained a lot. I'm sure there in some of my fights, it's out there that I did that same thing. If the guy would get me down,
so right here. So Askren does a beautiful takedown right here, right? So love that.
That was good. Position.
Now, right away, he should posture up yourself.
Yeah, he should back up out of there, and because staying in that half guard position, it leaves you open to a sweep. But yeah, pop right back up. And keep bicep control, and then, you know, do the old school Tito Ortiz type ground and pound. Now, here again, he took him down, but see how, Maya was ready with the butterfly guard, swept him back over, and then, you know, heel hook to sweep. I think, this is the end, right?
Yeah,
okay. So, exactly. He swept him right straight into the mount, and then just wore him out with these punches. He put the body triangle.
So, should better not have belly down, or he should have stayed on his back?
Yeah, he should have might as well stayed on his back and then kind of pushed back to his guard. But like I said, you know, this is Ben's tactics. He usually gets out like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But a guy is high level at finishing from the back as Maya. I mean, look, he does it with one arm. You know, I used to always do that shit to guys in practice too, where I just like, I don't even need my second arm. As long as you have that one arm deep and you've got control of his shoulder, you can just like kind of peel it, you know, your forearm right, digging right into
his
neck.
This is great, man. You're so technical at this, man.
Yeah, well, I mean,
dude,
I've done this since I was a little kid. So, you know, I hope I... And the weird thing is I'm articulate, and I was, like, beating my articulation out with, like, drugs and liquor.
But you read 100 books in jail, right?
Like, 200.
Really?
Shit. Yeah. I read a lot of fucking books, yeah. But listen, the flip side of that is, sure, I read plenty of books, but I didn't talk pretty much for like a year.
I think you've talked enough.
You try to shut the fuck up for 1 year. I dare you. No. I double dare you, motherfucker.
For like 1 hour.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. So Askren, I mean, you know, now how do you think, because I seriously think the Askren that was undefeated in Bellator, that got kicked out for being too boring. See, here's where I kind of, and I like Ben, so I don't want to diss Ben at all, because I love Ben. He's a friend of mine. But when he wrestled Jordan Burroughs and just got completely annihilated, and everyone's like, well, that's Jordan Burroughs. Yeah, but this is Ben Askren, right? This is like supposedly the best wrestler in MMA.
Yeah, but MMA ain't wrestling.
Of course. Well,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
But I got a little nervous, though, when I saw that, because let's say you took a guy like, who's the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world? Marcelo Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia,
right?
Yeah.
And then you take Damian Maya, who's the best jiu-jitsu guy in MMA, and they grappled. Yeah. Would it have been as one-sided?
Look, I know, because I was one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in my day and in MMA. And I remember I went to the – I could beat everybody in, like, the regular jiu-jitsu tournaments. But then at the top level, I'd lose by, like, an advantage.
Right.
I'd lose, like – because while I was doing kickboxing half the time and jiu-jitsu half the time, those guys were doing jiu-jitsu every
day,
all
day. Would it have been a one-sided – like, he got – Ben got tech followed by Burroughs, like 15-0 in the first period.
Yeah. Well, again, that just shows the difference. You know, it's like, softball and baseball kind of. Because when I'm kicking at you and punching at you, it's kind of easier to set up takedowns.
Right, but what I'm saying, though, is in a jiu-jitsu tournament, if...
Yeah, more if, likely what? If they're the same weight, Marcelo going to win because
But he's not going to annihilate him, though, right?
Maybe. But again, the way that Burroughs and I like apples and pineapples.
Is it
you're
really?
Comparing, kind
of. Is it?
Yeah, because... Well, here's why. Because jiu-jitsu with the punches and kicks is a lot different. Like, if I have to worry... I can't do the same sweeps.
But they just wrestled, though. I'm saying Askren lost to Burroughs in just wrestling.
Yeah.
Got 15-0 in the first period.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we take the best jiu-jitsu guy in MMA, which is, let's say, Maya, against, I don't know, who's the best jiu-jitsu guy, Marcelo Garcia.
All right.
Does he get tech-falled in the first period, or is it a lot closer?
Well, I mean, if you know jiu-jitsu, there's no
the equivalent to a tech-fall. The equivalent.
You think he gets tapped in the first period?
Yeah, does he get tapped?
Maybe.
Really?
I mean, it's possible. You know, these are just, like, our pontifications. But, you know... I think you're right in a sense.
What I'm saying is, has Askren's wrestling digressed in the 35?
Definitely. If Askren has to always like also do boxing and kickboxing and wrestling and jiu-jitsu, if he has to do that all the time and Burroughs just exclusively focused on wrestling,
it's like
a different language.
What I'm saying is when Ben came out of the Olympics, okay, it was meaning he was the best guy in the U.S. in wrestling.
Yeah, when was that, though? 10 years ago.
That's what I'm saying years. Is that did... Like a 30-year-old Ben Askren, because people are saying, "Well, Askren's, overhyped, and the UFC shouldn't have got him, or this and that, or but he was beating up cans in ONE FC or Bellator." No, he was not. He beat Diego.
Yeah,
he's the best
guys, yeah.
I think that a 30-year-old Ben Askren, a 28-year-old Ben Askren, it's a different fight against Damian Maya. I think he could have been the champion when he was 28.
Well, what do you mean? Are you surprised at this point? This is what the UFC does. If you like talk out against them, they make sure that you have bad matchups. They make, you know, you have to play this political game with Dana and whatnot. That's the reality of the situation. You know, at this point, it's kind of like a broken record. We see it over and over and over again. If I'm sure if he speaks out against the brass up there, then he'll, you know, what? They'll just erase him from the website.
But I just think that Askren could have, I think Askren could have been the UFC champion.
Yeah, but that exactly. But they just wait.
I know, but it sucks that like all these haters now are like, oh, he was always a bum. I'm like, dude, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. I know that's just how the internet works.
Of course.
It's a series of tubes.
Yeah, of course, of course. Did you watch Bellator?
I didn't. I didn't even know it was Han, to be honest. The marketing is just missing me. I don't know. I don't get
it's
how
so
that's happening.
So bad. They have two great events, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. There's two events?
There was two events. None of it was clear. Yeah, Frank Mir fought Roy Nelson on Friday, which no one knew about.
I didn't know anything. What the fuck? I would have totally watched that. How the fuck? And I'm friends with those people. Like, how the hell? And I mean those people by black people. So
Frank Mir won. Roy Nelson, as good as he is, he doesn't throw enough punches per round to win fights anymore. He's in every fight.
What happened? Well, how did the fight? Give me the breakdown.
Breakdown was Frank Mir was just putting it on him.
Yeah.
And then landing way more strikes than Roy. Hurt him, but not
well,
really
Roy
hurt him.
Roy is like 5'6", and Frank Mir is like a monster of a man.
But Nelson had his head down, was throwing overhand right over and over again. Then in the last 10 seconds of the fight, Nelson lands a beautiful double leg, but the fight's over.
Yeah, two legs. What do you mean? Because Mir was probably worn out from whooping his ass for the whole fight.
And Frank Mir had his daughter in his corner, who's like 16 years old, who's supposedly like phenom wrestling champion, jiu-jitsu champion. And Mir is I like Frank Mir. I've always liked Frank Mir. I like Roy Nelson too.
Yeah.
But Scott Coker said it might be time for Nelson to hang it up. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's worse things that have been done in the world.
Right.
He's had a great career. You know, everybody loves Big Country. So
listen, people. I gotta talk to you guys. It's always a huge pain in the ass for me to go to a store, figure out what to buy, and that's why the Menlo Club is so perfect for me. I never know what to wear. I don't know what to wear. I can't decide anything. I'm all over the place. But the Menlo Club sends me clothes perfect for any occasion. Yeah, you can go to, just for hanging out, or date night, or happy hour, family gatherings, whatever you need. Okay, the Menlo Club makes me look good and feel good, giving me the confidence to crush it. Crush it, okay? You gotta check it out. The Menlo Club is a men's monthly and seasonal subscription that provides stylized packages for every man, featuring items from 5'4 Everyday Wear, New Republic Footwear, and Grand AC Athleisure Wear, okay? All their items are designed by their in-house team in LA. You just complete a brief style quiz. And you get matched into a clothing profile that'll create the apparel being sent to you. Yes, they'll personalize it just for you, all right? And their member experience team is available for help through live chat, through email, and phone. It's hassle-free. They don't have any styling fee like their competitors. You have free size exchanges, and you can cancel anytime, all right? So get your first monthly or seasonal package for $35 off. Using their promo code MMAROASTED. Yeah, use promo code MMAROASTED. Check it out. You get your first monthly or seasonal package for just $25. How cool is that? That's awesome. Menlo. The Menlo Club. It's the best out there. All right? So their website is themenlohouse.com. And you can follow them at Menlo Club. Definitely check them out. Highly recommend. And you guys are going to thank me for it. You're going to be like, Adam, I look so much better. I feel so much better. Thank you.
And then the next night, Rory McDonald fought
Diego Lima.
Diego Lima. Mm. Lima won. It was close, though. Some people think that Rory won. It was like a rematch of their first fight, which is also. But there's this other guy that had the best submission. If we could pull this up, because what you got to tell me what this is like. This guy's undefeated, and he's really good. If we could pull up. By the way, shout out to Benil Dariush too. Dariush won his fight, who's really awesome. And at like the end, he's like the worst trash talker. They're like, "Who do you want to fight?" He's like, "Whoever Jesus thinks it's the right."
Jesus is our matchmaker.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's like this guy spends like his free time like building churches and he's like a missionary guy. Sweetest guy ever. Paul Daly beat Saad Awad.
I'm more of an ass blasting guy.
Patrick Mix. If we could put Patrick Mix, Isaiah Chapman, because this dude, Patrick Mix, is undefeated, and I think he's the next big thing. I know I'm coming late in it, but this dude, You got to see this thing. And then Nick,
that's what his wife said. And then,
Nick Newell lost.
Decision.
Yeah, he won the first round, but it was funny because I was watching the fight with Earthquake. You know, Earthquake, the comedian.
Yeah,
he's a really funny black comedian. We were backstage, and he's like, "Man, the guy's got one arm." He's like, "You gotta be kidding, man! They gotta fight, man! If you lose to a guy with one arm, it's time to do something else." I'm like, "No, he's really good." He's like, "Man, you gotta be! I don't care how good he is. I'll just like he was."
You talking about this guy Mix got one arm?
No, Nick Newell has one arm.
Nick Newell. Oh yeah, yeah.
So it was funny because back in the WSOF days, when like Ray Sefo, like they didn't even realize how funny these cards were.
Yeah.
They had two brothers fighting each other
nice.
On the same card. They had a guy with one arm, Nick Newell, and then yeah. Matt Hamill, a deaf guy.
Nice.
Like, if I'm just changing the channel, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's like, but this guy, yeah, Patrick Mix, he fought Isaiah Chapman. Gage, if you could bring that up. By the way, thank you. This dude, we have Gage, is a very funny comedian, by the way,
awesome.
who does our, he works here, and he's a good dude. He's a really good dude. Yeah, you got to see that. You got to see this. This guy's 11-0, 135. And like, dude, when I certain guys that I see and I'm like, this is the next big thing. Obviously, Darian Caldwell, I said was going to be champion one day. He was a national champion.
Bro, he's so damn tall for the weight class, 136 and 5'11". Mix, huh?
Look at this submission right here.
All right.
Chris Weidman, I said was going to be the champion one day. I was right about that. I was right about. I still think. Not Khabib, the other guy's from there.
Islam?
No. The guy with the dude who has those. Look at this. So here, so he's got rear naked. So he's got both hooks in, or one hook in, a body lock.
No, he's got a body triangle on him, the same as Maya did on Askren.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's just raining down. He's raining down half fury on
Yeah,
him.
But look at this. Look at this right here.
Dude, this is the
what
move.
What is this? Tell me.
Well, this is a leg lock from the back. This is the same thing I did on Carl Parisian at practice a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, I told you that story. Look, it's a leg lock. Yeah, yeah, that could tear your hamstring right there. Yeah, that's something you can do, like when you're a lanky dude and you got that body triangle, because dudes always, when you get a body triangle, a lot of guys will stand up and try to shake you off their back because it's kind of hard to hold your body triangle. But if you go ahead and lock that ankle and just like start peeling it back over his head, I mean, Jane Fonda couldn't even do that move.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, why do you never see that though?
Well, because a lot of guys don't, because a lot of guys, I think, know that that's a danger. You know, they've run into that technique before, so they don't like posture up on all fours. But this guy took the bait. He figured he could shake him off the top. But once you get a body lock like that, it's very dangerous to, like, posture on all fours like that.
Now, is that a hard move to put in practice because you'll fuck someone's knee up?
Yeah, it's a little dangerous. After I injured people on that, I was yeah, because, you know, the guy was standing up like that, it already gives you, you know, it's pretty easy to pull your leg back if your leg is bent. But his leg was already kind of straight, so it's easy to just wear it out and like pull it straight up. Yeah.
Is that what Zabit did?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Zabit. I'm like, this guy.
And Aljamain Sterling, they both did it like the same
night. Oh, yeah. Aljamain hit that on Cody Stamen. Yeah.
Yeah, so, these things come in like
by
waves.
The way, that's 50 Cent in there. Just gave him a bottle of his champagne.
Bottle full of bub, huh?
Yeah. Oh, 50 okay. Cent is one of the he's one of the guys in Bellator now. He's one of the investors. And so his hashtag is always get the strap.
Great. Oh man, what a time to be alive.
I feel like there's a lot more celebrities involved with Bellator than there is with the UFC. Like you have Chris Pratt, Bellator event,
really?
You know.
They let him in the octagon and stuff.
That's true.
The cage. Like UFC's not awesome. not gonna let 2 Chainz like you know.
Oh God.
So
the Kardashians and corner men, corner women. Caitlyn Jenner, the corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The corner thing.
Oh, by the way, and then Kimbo Slice Jr. won his fight.
Nice.
But he didn't win. He elbowed the guy 9 times in the back of the head, and then they gave him the win.
What?
And then they just overturned it.
So like he got to raise his hands that night,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then the next day
that happened to Greg Hardy, his win got overturned too.
I heard
he had the inhaler.
Like, weird.
How do you not know you can't use an inhaler?
No, I don't know. I heard that he got it passed. Like, he could. Yeah. And then they changed their mind.
He asked the custodian. Hey, can I use it? The guy's like, all right.
The custodian. Like, asked the damn popcorn lady.
He asked the guy that sold him the inhaler before the fight. Like, can I use this? Sure, why not?
Man. Isn't it crazy? He's had 3 fights in the UFC, and 2 of them have been no contest.
Yeah, because one of them he punted the guy, like, illegally.
In the nuts?
No, like, the guy's head was on the ground. Like,
now he's going to fight Volkov.
Yeah, I'll give him. He's fighting a guy that Junior Dos Santos pulled out of the fight, right?
Yeah.
And then he's stepping
Junior,
in.
Oh, he is?
In Russia.
Nice.
I mean, this guy's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe he's thinking, I got nothing to lose.
Oh, he's already in shape. He just fought, like, with this damn albuterol.
But this level is way. I mean, he's stepping up.
He's fighting a Russian dude.
He's stepping up 10 levels.
Nice.
6'7".
Yeah, this guy's.
But I feel like heavyweight is a damn lottery. Like, heavyweight, those guys, like, you know, it's just a lucky shot to end the night, you know? Mm. I mean, look, I'm not saying that there's not a lot of technique in what the guys are doing, but if you look at it like a 135 pound fight, you know, these guys got to really do their techniques right. And there's, like, more wiggle room at heavyweight.
Dude, 135. I mean, Roxy fights at one. I weigh 180. And I was like, this girl was like, I'm like, shit, thank God we have boxing gloves on, not small gloves. And she didn't know we were going. Because she's solid, you know. Yeah. And then I felt bad because, like, I posted it. And people were like,
you're beating up a girl?
Yeah. But, but she was like, no, I actually, no one actually, I mean, she texted me back. Saying that, like, the throw I did was actually something that people don't do to her. They circle the other way, and she's like, "Now I'm gonna use that technique." Like, I was like,
"Yeah, she's a student of the arts."
Oh my
yeah,
god,
she's great.
I didn't know what I did. I was just like, "I don't want this to end up like MMA Rosa getting fucking slammed." Not that I like that wouldn't happen. So right here, baby slice. How many back? Because this is how baby slice won. Like, all back,
oh,
and, like, come
God.
On. Like, 1 back to the head, 2 back to the head,
shit.
3 back to, well, that was to the side. I mean, they really want this kid to win because it's Kimbo's son, and he's not really that, he's 4-2. They kind of threw him in the big leagues really quick. I mean, he's got good strength, but he's got a long way to go as an MMA fighter. If he wasn't Kimbo's son, he'd probably,
yeah,
in some way.
I'm pretty sure he trains up there at Body Shop, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. I mean, yeah. But that was a little sketchy. But at the same time, we got to admit, we've seen so many fights where the guy hits the dude in the back of the head. They stop the fight. They call it for the guy who knocked the guy out with the illegal techniques. I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? Like, outlaw all punches to the head?
Well, when you first started fighting, everything was legal.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, headbutt the guy, everything.
How many headbutts did you land on people?
A bunch, yeah. I think I'm dumber for it.
And then Frank Trigg punted you in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's just business. Like, back then, that was like the normal thing. Called it no holds barred. It was like a regular-ass life appointment. I was like literally training headbutts on a bag on the ground. Like, what the hell?
Did anybody ever tell you not to do this?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad.
Your dad?
You need to go to computer school. You're a goddamn dumbass. I was like, whatever, man. I've got a plan.
Dude, my dad yelled at me from that video I posted of me with Roxy. He's like, you don't have your headgear on.
I don't have your.
Because I have cauliflower ear. Like, I had surgery on it when I was younger. And he's like, what are you doing? When's this going to end? He's like, you're 41 years old. You were exhausted. You obviously didn't want to go. What are you doing? She had her headgear on. That girl was an animal. Like, my dad. Like, but now, like, I have that. I always have this voice in the back of my head telling me that I'm doing something wrong.
Like Mufasa.
Or I shouldn't be doing that. Normally he's right. I mean, you know. But then again, it's fun. I mean, this shit is fun.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
you're
like
right.
It wasn't like. Plus, I wasn't like I was like Roxy, get in here. I thought I was going up to Mike Pyle. By the
which
way,
which isn't any nicer. I mean,
by the way, Mike Pyle. I mean, he lost.
Mike Pyle is great, man. I love that guy.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it was nice going with him because he could have just destroyed me.
Yeah, but he worked with you. He's a good coach too.
But a lot of guys aren't like that. They still have something to prove.
Why? On a comedian, a 41-year-old comedian.
It's like me going against middle school kids and like going all out.
Oh, I've seen you, the hip throw of a middle school kid.
But I'm always, that's like, I've never.
Double legged the shit out of a middle school kid.
In 13 years of coaching, yeah. I've never once hurt a kid while doing an example. Like, you
well,
know.
Day is young.
I never want to, like, come on. But
you never want. Listen, I've seen you snap their heads down pretty hard. I was like, damn, Adam.
Well, yeah, but they're always, like, laughing with their friends. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle school is the best age because their whole lives they're told to knock it off. Yeah. And now I'm telling them to rough house.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, which is like, imagine that. Like, imagine like your whole life, don't curse. And all of a sudden, like, hey, every word has to be, you're like, this is the greatest class ever, yeah. You know?
I remember the moms were there and I was all like on my G-rated behavior. And then the moms left and I was like, ah, thank God. So I could say it, talk how I want to fucking talk. And the little kids like all like smiled, like looked at me like, wow. And then the mom came back and he like ran off the mat like, come on, mom, leave us alone. And I was like, oh, I just caused that right now. And the kids go, the kids come back, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no. Well, the kid's mom had like a neck brace. I'm like,
poor lady.
No, the grandma.
Yeah, grandma, like, yeah. Like her head was just hanging on by a thread.
I gotta say, when I coach, usually
did you snap her head down? Is
Latin,
that what happened?
Latin families are always, that's the thing about being a parent that I, you know, you realize that, because I try to do as much with my daughter as possible. Like, you think you obviously have to make money and you throw money at your kid and your kid will turn out well.
No.
But it's really the time you spend with them. You know, because I met so many middle-class kids that their parents are with them and they're just the greatest, happiest kids. They don't have the most, like, nicest clothes, nicest car. And then I've seen super rich parents are divorced.
Bro.
Never showing up.
Bro.
Kids has the nicest phone, this and that.
Bro.
Everything, but the kid's just an asshole.
I know.
And
it's a weird thing. You know, I want to blame the parents, but I mean, I got to blame the culture a little bit. Because we've kind of been indoctrinated to go, oh yeah, cars and clothes and phones and money is the way to be, make happiness, because that's what the TV tells me. So that's what everybody, you know, growing up.
Social media, even worse.
No, and now, yeah, everybody's giving their highlight reel. That's why I'm not really on it too much, because it's like difficult to like mesh my feelings with the fact that I realize that I'm being indoctrinated by everybody's highlight reel to think that their life is fucking awesome and they don't want to project anything other than that. So that's what I'm seeing. So it's just a big fake universe that they're living on, you know?
Well, so many people though, but when I posted that video of you coaching, were like, oh, so happy to see, like, they were like, I mean, granted, it shouldn't take what you went through to people to root for you.
Yeah.
But
I know.
A lot of people were like,
yeah, I love that. But we got to admit, that's kind of a rare new thing. And if I didn't swing so low and get so much hate on the internet and everything being blown out of proportion, I wouldn't be now reaping this upswing where everybody's happy.
People hate Demetrius Johnson. Like, this fucking guy, who knows why? There are so many people like, oh, I hate that guy. I mean, why would you hate that person?
I don't know.
Like, yeah. I mean, people hate.
Seemed like a gentleman to me.
But like Nickelback, like what the fuck? What did Nickelback ever do to anybody?
Of a meme. Like people just
of
like.
Of course, but it's like what the fuck? They're just musicians, like or comedians. I mean, Dane Cook, whose like sole purpose was to make people laugh. People just shit on this guy.
Well, I think that comes from like rumors about him being a dick to people.
But not everybody.
I've seen it.
I've seen it too. But yeah. Okay, maybe a bad example. All right, so we're gonna call Sheena Starr right now. She says she's ready. This girl right here. You talk about a character. This girl. She started off her amateur career. I think she was like 3-18 or 3-25 as an amateur. Then went 0-3 as a pro.
Boxer. Or
MMA. But then. Has found her calling in bare knuckle boxing.
Nice.
Single mother of two. Does truck racing that she builds herself. Wait till you meet this one. This is this one is she's.
Where's she out of?
She's out of Michigan.
Oh yeah.
And super interesting girl. Like that's the thing about MMA. Like there are so many hidden gems, like the Matt Horwiches of the world.
Oh, I love that guy.
There are a lot of those people out there that you're just like, if you don't look for them, you could miss them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true.
I mean, a lot of normal people too, but then there's people like you're just like, huh? Like Tom Galicchio is kind of like that, toothless Tom. But let's see. So are we? Let me know, Gage, when we get her.
I break down the fights this weekend too.
We got to talk about the fight. Yeah, there's a lot of fights coming up this weekend. Obviously the badass. This is your screen. Okay, so texting you now.
Bamf.
Yeah. Who do you? By the way, real quick, Nate Diaz, Masvidal. Who wins?
But just you want me to just pick? You know, I don't know. I'm going with my gut. Diaz will eventually wear him down and put something on him. You know, that kind of is. I'm sure the odds makers probably agree with me, huh?
Well, I do think that Masvidal, with that flying knee to Askren.
Yeah, but
people are forgetting that, like, he's had some of his other fights didn't go as.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't go as well.
Well, that's always how you build a fight. You got to show some hype. you know, show that this dude is like on a, you know, on a wild streak, and then put crowd favorite Diaz, and there you go. You got a great main event.
But it's Diaz looked smart. Amazing against Pettis.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and Diaz has been like consistently improving over his career. Like he like keeps getting better, and he just like chips away at his weaknesses, and like he just, I don't know, he just,
except for leg kicks, though. So he doesn't like, he doesn't,
well, because of the stance, the way that those guys stand, and their reliance on their boxing is, you know, that's the method. He doesn't worry about getting taken down, and he does, yeah, you're right, he doesn't mind getting kicked in the legs, and I understand why too, because when I, the day I figured out that it doesn't hurt really to get kicked in the legs,
what,
yeah,
I took one kick from JoJo.
I know, but some guys, it doesn't hurt. It didn't hurt me, so I would just, you know, and granted, that probably, you know, wore my knees out, because I just would ignore the kicks and punch the guy in the face. Nah, because, well, I used to check them, but then once I figured out that I could just walk through him and punch the guy, or walk through him and take him down, then I just started doing that, and that's what, I think that's what Diaz.
But Diaz versus RDA,
yeah,
I mean, he... Yeah, of course, shit, yeah, out of that guy.
I know, yeah, and but that, you know, that's the outlier though. RDA is like the best, one of the best leg kicks in the business. He's training with Kings, you know. So, you know, you don't run into those guys too often. So
the reliance,
yeah, a lot.
How'd it go?
Yeah, great. It depends. When I was fat and out of shape, oh my god, he like dragged me all over the mat. It was hilarious. Like he just like, but you know, when I'm in shape, yeah, it was good sparring, and yeah, I really like that guy.
Are you back in jiu-jitsu, by the way?
Not yet, because I had very bad back injuries with my discs back there. Because
he's blasting his ass.
Yeah, I've been focusing on anal blasting recently, so, you know.
So you still got your blue belt, though?
Yeah, blue belt.
Yes.
I'm going to go when the semester's over, so in a couple weeks.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good.
It's also very expensive.
And then you got your secondary black belt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of took a sabbatical, if you want to call it that, you know, to jail, in prison, whatever. But, you know, I got my black belt many years ago, but I really, like, drifted from the world in general. But now I'm, like, back, like,
but you've been out of jail for 3 weeks. A month.
Bro, hey, exaggerating face.
But how do you get a second degree in a month?
Well, I believe it's because they realize they show my skills and that. What?
So this is the girl right here. So this is Sheena Starr. Sheena.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm just living the dream, laughing at the fucking jiu-jitsu conversation. How y'all doing?
All right, so we got Mayhem Miller. You know who Mayhem is?
He was my spirit animal for many years.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we have Joe, well, the Ween Dog here.
Hello.
So Sheena Starr, now you the last time we saw you, everyone knows you. You became internet famous from wearing a shirt that says Hillary Clinton is a cunt during your fight. Now, but you actually knew her, like, or your friend knew her. It wasn't like a political statement, right?
No. She's just a fucking cunt.
Okay, why do you feel this way?
Well, it was fucking stupid, right? So I took that fight on like a week and a half notice, right? Because I'm a fucking savage. So I had this Navy SEAL, like retired veteran friend of mine that worked her detail like back fucking during the Clinton administration. And she was just a god awful cunt to all the people that worked for her. And I'm just like, man, I didn't have time to like get sponsors together and a fight shirt and all this other shit. So I just called my t-shirt dude up and be like, hey, I need you to put this on a shirt. And I like basically picked it up from the fucking airport on my way, you know, to fly to this bare knuckle fight. And I just told my friend, I'm like, man, I'm just going to wear this for this one's just going to be for y'all, man. And I don't know. I just wore it and that shit blew the fuck up. And I was like, yeah.
Now when's your next bare knuckle boxing fight?
I'm hoping for February. They got another one coming up this November, but I'm still suspended.
Why are you suspended?
Because I got a TKO my last fight.
Oh, no, wait, when was this?
What? Where have you been? You've been under a fucking rock?
Yeah. Talk to me.
Yeah, he's been getting his ass whipped.
Talk to me.
Right. The October 19th card in Tampa, that Antonio Bigfoot Silva and Gonzaga show.
Oh, I saw that. I saw the last one. So you got a TK on that? I'm sorry. So what happened? Wait, by the way, you said you were going to wear a
You know
even
what?
Better...
Shit happens.
All right. Okay. It happens.
This is what fucking happened. All right. This is what happened. All right. First, I was beating the brakes off this chick for round one, right? I mean, yep. I was like, the face is bloody. I mean, we're bare knuckling the shit, right? And I get caught with this overhand and my eye goes black and I'm freaking the fuck out thinking like my retina is attached, my heart races, and then I get a dump and then like I get like hit with like two of these hooks, and then I went to go step back up, my knees are wobbly and the ref's like, nope, and I lost. So
all
that's
right,
how that
okay.
happened.
Well, it's okay. All right, so, all right, it happens. But now you said you were gonna wear an even better shirt. Did you wear a better shirt? What did you wear for this one?
Oh, this one said Mike Vick is a bitch.
All right.
This is a very opinionated T-shirt, so I like this. Yeah.
Okay, so I take it you're
hey,
a big dog.
I wanted to put Epstein didn't kill himself. But, the
God damn, she's awesome.
Perfect. Yeah.
Wait, why didn't you get put with that one? How come they did the Epstein one?
Well, we got this thing in America, and they're called the FCC. And it's kind of ran by the Democrats. So I have to, like, go right under the radar what I can get away with on, pay-per-view and shit. Right. Like my banner, my banner for this one had me in my other T-shirt, like, fucking middle fingers and shit in the air. And I had to put, like, fucking tape over my shirt on my banner.
Well, the and FCC I got Jason won't Knight. Let me be.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's a bummer.
Now, Sheena, I was telling everybody that, like, you started, like, your career as a pro, you were, like, 3-20 or something, or as an amateur in MMA, but then you said...
Yeah, I was fucking good. I was good in the Emmys, but, you know, nobody cares, gives a fuck about the Emmys. No, I went, like, I was, like, 23-13 or something fucking stupid. I'm from Michigan, man. We're Midwest fuckers. We used to fight every weekend because we weren't sanctioned, you know what I mean?
Of course.
But, right. And then pro, man, I just kept getting wrestle fucked, and I'm not a good grappler. I've been like a blue belt for like 6 fucking years, and I'm not built for that shit. All right, I'm really not. And I mean, that's how you would beat me. I'd be like fucking fighting for underhooks and shit on like shitty MMA cages, where the cage is like all bent the fuck, all blowed out, and you know. And then I'm just not a good grappler.
No, listen, how much I love your fights. I was saying how awesome you're doing, and you're one of the people that you never give up. You're so inspiring. I was not putting you down. I don't care if you were 0-100.
I don't give you shit. You can't put me down. I'm fucking gangster.
Yeah, no, of course, but your fights are like, they're kind of like world star hip hop fights, where you would just run at the person, throwing like fucking all kinds of, it was like Wile E. Coyote, like just like throwing crazy hail makers.
That was only a couple of them.
All right.
That was only when I was like kind of scared of them. You know?
All right. Okay.
I didn't know. I had some bad coaches.
But you're also a cut person, and then you were also a matchmaker, right? And you also...
I'm doing that right now. I'm fucking matchmaking a car. Dude, I'm going to quit. I hate fighters.
Why? What's going on?
Oh, it's just, I don't know, just dumb shit, man. Like, I need a physical signed by, like, a doctor, right? Like, an MD or a DO, and, like, I get people, like, sending me shit signed by their dentist and shit, and I'm like, just kills me, bro.
But yeah, and then you also make mud trucks, right? You're a mud truck racer.
I used to race. That's what I did, you know, because I just like cool shit. That's why I like to fight and stuff. But yeah, no, I build fab shops, so you know, I work on like monster trucks, and you know, we get like I live in Michigan, so we do like the snow rally type, you know, with the Subarus, all wheel drive Audis and shit, and like, you know, race through like the snow, and we work on those too, and snowmobiles, and you know, I put like fucking nitrous bottles and shit on them, make them go fast or blow up, one of the two.
Ma'am, is this your soulmate here or what?
I mean, she's pretty fucking badass. I mean, I'm telling you, she knows what to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know which one of those kids is already mine.
Mm-hmm. No, so right now you are single. You're a mother of two.
Nice,
right? Have you been going on any dates lately, or what's going on?
No, because a lot of these men nowadays are pussified. They are, man. They're like fucking drinking that soy milk and shit, and. Yeah.
These soy boy cucks. I know what you're talking about.
So what's an ideal date?
Man, it's such a disappointment when you like see a dude and he's got a beard and, you know, he like fucking dresses like a dude. Then you figure out he's a fucking vegan and drinks Chardonnay. It just like, ruins it.
So what's an ideal date for you?
I don't date. Who dates anymore? Are we still doing that in 2019?
What's the optimal Tinder hookup for you? That's what he's trying to ask.
Yeah. Oh God, I don't even. Oh, Tinder's horrible.
All right. So
no.
So you see a guy like Mayhem. You're like, this is a guy. This is a handsome gentleman. Just got out of prison. That turns you on, right? So, and then what do you want him to take? Like, where would you like him to take you?
In the ass, obviously. Pound.
Right, there you go. I don't know. I mean, eat some mushrooms and go to church, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, last time it didn't go very well for you.
Yeah, I know. Last time I did mushrooms, I lost a girl in the woods. So just, you know, let's take it easy on the enhancements, okay?
Yeah, but she should have. That's her fault. She should have kept up.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're a girl. You like to get thrown against a wall and just passionately made love to. Oh, no, no. Okay.
No, that's like that fucking trailer park shit. We don't do that.
Okay, so.
She's a high class mud and shit.
Yeah, so you're a high class.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm in the heights, man. I'm in the heights. I'm in a 70s modular, god damn it. This is not a trailer.
Okay, got it. Got it. All right, so now bare knuckle, so now you're 1-1, right?
Yep.
1-1. Do you love it? Do you love it better than MMA?
I do like it better in MMA because I like to fight, and it's like, I don't know, bare knuckle is just, it's me, man. It's like a real fight. Yeah. It's like a real, and it's like, it's better. It's it's better because it ain't boxing either, because that shit's all fucking crooked and all fucked up, and you know, MMA is cool too. I mean, I'm just built better for it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even get boxing fights, so you know, I gotta like sneak my fucking little white Irish ass and that motherfucker because I can't get no fights. Bitch.
Do you have gold teeth?
Bare knuckle
by the way,
great.
Do you have gold
What's
teeth?
That?
Do you have a gold tooth?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, it looks like you have a gold tooth. All right, no, got it. Okay,
I mean, I know I'm from Flint, but fuck, man.
No. Of course not. All right, so Sheena Starr, she's single. She's looking for a man, a real man.
Is she?
I ain't looking for nobody.
I don't think she is. He's trying to, like, I don't know, matchmake you with somebody.
No. Here's the thing. I need a guy that's, like, a fucking badass, because they can't be less badass than I am, or, like, savage, or, like, a fucking pussy.
It's a very small pool. You're, like, a pretty badass woman.
Thank you.
You're making me turtle head right now, honestly. You're such a savage.
And then her brother's gay, nice. And her other brother won't leave the house.
Nice.
And then the daughter does bare knuckle boxing.
That's right. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, so the parents have three kids, and they all kind of are like misgendered.
It's family that doesn't even remember that shit. Yeah. I had it from MMA roast, if you remember.
No, I love it.
Yeah,
no,
I'm the fucking son my father never had. I remember he went to my fight and I got on the microphone and told him, I'm your sperm, and the son you never had.
Wait, you told your father you're his sperm after the fight?
Yeah, I ran on the microphone. That was great.
Oh, nice. There
you
go.
He thought it was hilarious. I said it. I'm a product of your sperm.
Now Ween Dog was saying that him and his girlfriend, he takes his girlfriend home and likes to finger his own butt while hooking up with his girlfriend. That would be a turnoff for you, right? If a guy started fingering his own butt?
You could just wash his hand afterwards. I mean, whatever you like, man. I mean, I'm not gonna.
Where are you at with the finger blasting? Would you finger blast the guy in the ass?
Those anal blasts.
I mean, would that be like?
You know, if it was a good. I mean, that's like some wifey shit almost.
Nice.
I
don't know. You know what? Now I see the threshold.
Right. I mean, does he use a bidet? I mean, that's
what
I bought in Japan.
Is he fasting for this? Yeah. These are all solid questions.
So yeah, I don't know. So what keeps you going?
Red Bull. Yeah, a little bit of nicotine.
But also, I mean, you're so stubborn. You just do not take no for an answer. You're like, fuck it, right? I mean, what drives someone like you?
It depends on who's telling me no and what it is. Like, sometimes I pick my own battles. I say fuck it, but you know, I don't overly complicate simple shit. So,
I like it.
If I want something, I'm gonna signs of doing it. So what? I mean, I'm gonna go back and probably say fail the seventh time. But you know what? I'm just stubborn like that. Hey, you never know. I might get number eight, motherfuckers. If not, hey, I'll see you at fucking 12 down the road. You know what I mean? But
I don't
let shit knock me. Like I'm done when I'm done. I mean, I don't give a fuck what anybody else says. You know.
I love it. Well, listen. Well, thank you for. So you're fighting again in February. Are you looking for January, February?
February, because Boss Man for Bare Knuckle is getting married in January.
Oh.
I know that okay. Poor guy.
All right.
No, he's got an awesome old lady though. They're great. They're great. So nice. February. I'm thinking February, which is all the Bare Knuckles down south. So I mean,
who do you want to fight?
I'm up here in the fucking ice box.
Who do you want to fight in Bare Knuckle?
Anybody that I'll agree to fight. It took me fucking 5 months to get the last one, so.
And then any shirts that we should look up forward to?
I don't even know what's going to come up next. I just got to see what I can get away with, obviously. I'm a troublemaker.
Epstein hung out with Trump.
Fucking, like, yeah. Right. Well, he also hung out with Bill Clinton, though, too.
Two.
Yeah.
I know. They probably had a pedophile fivesome.
Yeah, it should be like, you know those shirts that are like the Matt, like Epstein, Trump, Bill Clinton? You know how like they have like the listings of those shirts? Someone should make those, like five, one of those, like, I don't know.
And it was here our business was born.
Well, listen, Sheena Starr, how can people follow you? Where can people find you?
I'm really just on Facebook, Sheena Starr on Facebook and Sheena Puma Starr. I mean, I used to use Twitter, but that shit gives me a fucking headache. And I mean, I'll go on Instagram every now and then, but I can't keep up with all that shit. So
yeah. And then don't send her dick pics. How many dick pics did you get after the whole, Hillary Clinton is a cunt?
I didn't get any. I just got a bunch of liberal fucking whiny bitches saying I'm degrading women. I'm like, have you guys ever been to fucking Europe? Like, holy shit, man. That's their daily word over there. I just told them to put on their pussy hats and they'll fucking get over it, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Sheena Starr, you're awesome. We're going to talk to you soon. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man, anytime. I'm fucking always fun. Always good to have you.
Oh, great to have
you.
All
right, man.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, that was...
Bye.
She's one of a kind.
Isn't she?
Oh, my God.
Nah, I'm pretty stoked about that interview.
Would you go on a date? Would you go on a date with Sheena?
No, right? I mean, if she would beat the shit out of me, I think. I mean, I just couldn't stop myself from saying snarky comments, and she would be a savage on me. I could see she got a snap temper.
Yeah. Have you been on any new dates in the last couple?
Sort of.
I heard of one,
really?
But I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thanks, I appreciate
no
that.
No problem. No problem.
I mean, it's just friends hanging out.
Of course, all she said was, "I hung out with your friend." LOL. That's all. I didn't ask how it went or anything because I didn't was like.
Well, I mean, what did you ass blast him?
No, I didn't. Well, the thing was like I didn't want to like. I'm like that's I was like I don't want to be like, how to go. Tell me more. Like what was this?
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah, did
they put up a fight?
Right. This is what is grease. So,
I think so. I greased it up. All right.
So real quick, we're gonna talk about fights real quick. Because I know you have to go to Ellis real soon.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this week. We have that. We have Kelvin Gastelum versus Darren Till.
Jesus Christ. It's a good fight.
Jesus Christ is going to win that one?
Who do you like in that one?
Look, to be honest with you, I don't know enough about the one guy to give an honest opinion.
Well, Kelvin Gastelum's a guy who went 5 rounds with Israel Adesanya. It was a back-and-forth fight.
Yeah.
He beat Jack Ellenberger. He knocked out Michael Bisping.
Yeah,
he's a guy that like went on the Ultimate Fighter at like 170, was the last pick, beat Uriah Hall in the finals, was a state champion wrestler.
I mean, he sounds like a damn specimen, but I don't. I haven't watched the fight.
Like missed weight like 6 times, so they bumped him up. Darren Till's a guy.
He's fighting at 205 now?
No, 185. Darren Till's a guy that everyone was saying was the next big thing because he beat Cowboy. He knocked out someone else and then had a wake-up call.
That's a lighter weight fight, though.
He had a wake-up call against Tyron Woodley.
Okay.
And then got knocked out again by Masvidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, these are like apples and oranges. It's hard to like compare A, A beats B. That doesn't mean that
right,
B
of course.
C, right?
Well, see, wrestling seems to be his weakness, but Kelvin uses wrestling all the time.
Yeah.
So
I can't give an educated opinion. I don't want to mislead your viewers.
All right. Also, Gregor Gillespie, who's 13-0, national champion, amazing wrestler, beat our guy Vince Michelle, is fighting Kevin Lee, who's on a he needs a win because he lost to RDA, then he lost to what's the name before that, Ally Aquinta, but he switched his training camp, went up to TriStar, training with GSP for this fight. Gillespie is a guy that like no one knows. Because
he's a homeless guy.
He
lives in the sewers of New York.
Yeah, no, he doesn't live in the sewers, but he like fishes during the day and does no media, none of that. But he's a guy that they're saying could be the next big thing. No.
I think he's going to win.
Who's
I think
saying?
He's going to beat Kevin.
Everyone who knows, because he's such a good wrestler, national champion.
Okay.
But just doesn't talk.
Interesting.
Yeah. Kevin Lee wouldn't stop talking.
Awesome. But I know. Kevin Lee, who's he training with now? Because I think
GSP.
That's great. That's a good
because
a good fit for him. Because before when he was training with Dewey Cooper, I think he was trying to be a kickboxer, but why?
A boxer.
Yeah, but why?
He's training with Mayweather and stuff.
I know, but why? Like, you're an excellent wrestler. The fight I remember, the fight we talked about, he didn't use his wrestling at all. And I was like, what the hell? Why are you going to throw away? You know, there's a line to dance, you know, when you're a great wrestler. Do you use some of your wrestling and, you know, make your kickboxing like complement it? Or do you just throw your wrestling away and become a kickboxer? That's the mistake that many great wrestlers have
it's
made.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Maybe because they know how strenuous wrestling is. And you're like,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. And plus, when you're hitting pads all the time, suddenly you just forget about
wrestling.
Seemed like
wrestling. Hendo kind of fell in love with his right hand.
Yeah, well, no, he always was. He was a baseball pitcher when he was in high school.
Oh.
So it's the same motion that he was doing.
I didn't know
so, that. Yeah. So that's what he does. He throw that giant right hand all the time. And then, you know, he figured out that the inside kick to the left leg was like a wind up for a
I
right
always
hand.
Ask people, how do I throw that hendo right? And like, finally, Pyle gave me the best, closest I've ever come to it.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like an aberration, right?
It's because you have to shift your weight. You have to go like shift your weight to your back foot. Kick on the inside thigh and then like wind up and it's a baseball pitch.
I didn't even notice he was throwing the kick before that.
Yeah, and even he wouldn't even throw the kick hard. It was just like a little tap and then, you know, but we're getting distracted. So, Kevin Lee versus I don't know.
I'm picking Gillespie, unfortunately. I like Kevin Lee, but it's in New York. This kid just
I think that switching in the training camp might help out Kevin Lee a lot because there's not many more physically talented guys, you know, and I think he has some mental toughness too. But that last fight where we talked about, I think he just threw his wrestling away, and being with St. Pierre's camp, I don't think he's going to do that again.
Also on this card, Derek Lewis is fighting. He's the guy that said, my balls is hot. The huge black guy that like wins every fight with like 10 seconds left until he fought Daniel Cormier, who beat him. But he was the guy that was like, my balls is hot. And then he was like, Ronda, where are your fine ass at?
I remember.
And then he was eating ribs before one of his fights. And then tried to almost threw up during a fight. Like,
perfect.
Yeah. So he's fighting Sergey Ivanov or Blagoy Ivanov, who's 18-2. I don't know much about him. Steven Thompson's fighting Vicente Luque.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker is saying the next big thing. He's a guy that this dude just kills everybody. He's 17-3. He's just been murdering people. Mm. He's like this like six butt. His last fight, he was breakdancing after he won, and then threw
himself.
Yeah, injured himself doing the worm. he's fighting Corey Anderson. Corey's talking a lot of shit to John Jones, but he's got to get past Johnny Walker, which is this guy is 6'5", 205 pounds.
Yeah.
And then Shane Burgos is fighting America. I like Walker in that fight. You?
Yeah, me too.
He's fighting Makwan Amerikani. They call him Mr. Finland. He's having a tough time. I think his parents are Kurds, and you don't know what's going on with the Kurds now. But he's fighting Shane Burgos, who's also a good fighter. Americano came on the podcast, got a blowjob while doing the interview with us. Like, we heard the girl go
from him.
No, not from Joe. Joe was fingering his butt while. Edmund Shabazzan, who's with Coach Edmund, who's actually doing well. He's 10-0, fighting Brad Tavares. That's going to be a good fight, too, from Hawaii. Then there's a bunch of other guys.
I think it's an easy card to bet on, too.
So make
a bet.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever won?
No.
Okay, all right. So, Joe, what do you have coming up?
Go listen to my new episode of the Creepy Town Podcast. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Spotify. Go follow Creepy Town Podcast on Instagram. That's it, dude.
And what do you have coming up?
shit, I got to go to Ellis right now. Do the damn series show.
Yes.
I'm just, you know, building back up.
Doing great, man.
Thanks,
bud. I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud to be your friend.
Proud of you, man. Look at this. You got a damn whole nice studio at Speedweed Studios. Oh, my God.
Well, listen, you know.
Yeah, it's coming together, bro.
I'm so happy we're friends. You can see me this Friday night, the Dirty, at 12:30 at the South Point Casino. And then in December, that fight week. Oh, actually, November 20th, I'll be at the Miami Improv. 21st, 22nd in Key West at a comedy club. I don't know the name of it. It's on adamhunter.com. And also, you could see me that fight week, the week of Colby Covington versus Usman. I'll be at the Strat all that week. Download my Amazon Prime special called Adam Hunter Still Broke. Thank you guys so much. Mm-hmm. And guys, if anybody wants to see Pinned, okay, DM me. I'll send you a copy because
hell yeah,
I'm good like that.
You need me to babysit tonight?
Maybe. I'll definitely hit you up. All right, thank you guys so much. Take care. Bye.